We're just about starting our new year, aren't we? Yay! Is everybody all excited about this? We get to write our checks wrong for the first 2 months of the year, right? We'll be putting 19 at the end instead of 20. 2020! Wow! Man, if I would have known that I was going to last this long, I'd have taken better care of myself. I think my dad says that all the time, but it's good to have everybody here. I hope you all had a very, very Merry Christmas. We had a wonderful, wonderful time, and we had a wonderful, wonderful Sunday night program last week. It was awesome seeing all the people here, being able to share Christ and the Christmas story with those people, and just experience the presence of God. Excuse me. In the beginning of every year, we've kind of made it a tradition to pick a word that we think that God wants us to focus on for the year. And so that we don't get kind of bogged down in a tradition that just kind of seems like an old trunk that you never open up anymore. Anybody ever have one of those? Huh? I think I got two or three of them. One of them belongs to my grandpa, one belongs to my great-grandpa. I'm waiting for my dad's trunk when I get that one, you know. But sometimes that's kind of what happens. So we're going to change it up a little bit this year. We're going to do one word, but it's going to be a little better, and I think it's going to be a little more user-friendly for all of us. We're going to be a little more user-friendly for different personalities, because sometimes, you know, it's kind of hard for every personality just to start praying and then like, okay, God, what's that word? Okay. I mean, I don't know about you, but as time goes on, I find out that I'm not listening as well as I thought. I'm learning that in all relationships, especially in my marriage relationship. Yesterday, something happened, and I went, what? And Cindy says, yeah, I told you that many times. And I was like, ooh, Tay, I probably heard it and forgot it. That's another nice thing. It's a lot easier to forgive people and forget now because I'm forgetting all the time. But I want this to be something that every one of us can get a hold of. And so God had showed me some really, really neat things. You know, we pray for God to show us what our word is so that we can focus on change in those areas or that area of our life. And in the past, when we've done this, we've looked at, you know, character traits, a word for us that would be a character trait, a word that would be maybe a discipline, a word could even, you know, it could be a person, it could be one of the Godhead, it could be, you know, something, a word that could be a spiritual focus. It could be an attribute or value. We just like kind of threw it out there. Well, as I was praying this year and preparing for this year God wants us to change it up a little bit. We are going to focus on a word. But those words are going to be limited to the attributes of God. Okay? Okay? We're going to bring it in a little bit closer, a little bit more intimate, and a little bit more about God. And that's why I've got this handout. It's the names, titles, and descriptions of God the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in the NIV. Someone took the time where every time that God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit was mentioned, one of their attributes, one of their titles or something. And if you look at this, this is a trifold. And it's small print. And there's a bunch of them. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to go through why God showed me this and explain it a little bit. And then at the end, okay, I'm going to give you a challenge for the next week or next month or something, okay? You see, we're going to focus on the attributes of God to find out who we are in God. So many times it's very, very easy for us to focus on who we are in the flesh, who we are in the world, who we are in our family. Okay, somebody says, who are you? Well, first thing we do is what? Say, well, I'm Jim. And isn't it interesting that God's got all these names in the Bible? And so when we say, who are you? You can say, well, I am the son of I am. I am the son of Jehovah. I am the son of Jehovah Jireh. I am the son of Jehovah Rophi. I am the son of God Most High. I am the son the God who sent Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, to die for me. And so what we're going to do is we're going to focus on those names and those attributes and find out what God may want us to do. And it may be more than one name throughout the year. This is another thing that is, there are anywhere from 7 to 9 main attributes to God that theologians teach us, okay? You might want to take one of those, because I'm going to talk about those in the next 2 or 3 weeks. You might want to take one of those. You might want to take one of these every week out of here. Just say, okay, God, what's your name this week that I'm going to focus on? Okay, now let's find out why we're going to do that. Because if we focus on God instead of on us, we grow in that area. If we focus on us, we have a tendency to focus on our frailties, on our failures, and on our weaknesses. We have a tendency to focus on other people's frailties, weaknesses, failures. But if we focus on God, if we start saying, hey, this is God, my Father, this is who He is, these are the attributes that He has, and these are the attributes and the gifts that God has given me as His child. We talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about those one of these weeks. Joy, peace, patience, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, all those gifts. Those could be your word. This month, I'm going to focus on love. This month, I'm going to focus on joy. This month, God might show you something that you need in His name. He is joy. God is love. God is kindness. Those are all of His names. And we're going to look this morning at what the Word, the living Word of God in me looks like. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are the living Word. Amen? Amen. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are the living Word. It says that they are 3 in 1. And you know, that's something really hard to get a hold of. I think it's getting easier to get a hold of in our technological age. Okay, right here in my pocket, okay, I have the sun of my computer. They're the same. Everything in my iPhone is in my computer because it synced. Now, my iPhone and my computer have a spirit, and it's in the clouds. You see, God is the 3 in 1. God is the computer. Jesus is something you pack along with you, and the Holy Spirit is everywhere. And they're 3 in 1. Does that make sense? Does that kind of help you out? I know when I was a kid, I used to struggle with, how can God be 3? Well, God is 3 in 1, and He's God, and He can do that. They're the same. If you talk about God, you're talking about Jesus. If you talk about Jesus, you're talking about the Holy Spirit. If you talk about the Holy Spirit, you're talking about God. They're the same. They're the same. They do different things, but they're the same. God is over all. Jesus is for us all. And the Holy Spirit is to teach us and to sanctify us all. It's amazing how that works. And it is the living Word. In John 1:1-4, we have another overview of the creation in Genesis 1:1. John 1:1-4, it says, in the beginning was the Word. That word means the living Word. In the beginning was the living Word, and the living Word was with God, and the living Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. In the beginning was the Word, the living Word. The living Word was with God, the living Word. The living Word was God, the living Word. He, the living Word, was with God, the living Word, in the beginning. Do you see? The living Word. The living Word. It says that over and over and over in the Bible. The living Word. So what does that mean? You see, in the beginning, the Word was God. In the beginning, God says, I'm here and I'm living. And what He's trying to tell us is that this Word, it covers every aspect and every area of our life. You see, in order to name God, we had to give Him words, didn't we? When Moses said, okay, I'm going to go talk to Pharaoh. I'm going to go talk to the Israelites. Who do I say sent me? And God says, you just tell him that I am.
That pretty much covers it all.
You are what? I am.
In that, the one of the most sacred names of God, God is saying, I am everything. I am. I am love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I am grace. I am forgiveness. I am judgment. I am fairness. I am. I am your Father. I am your comforter, your shield, your all of the things that God is. We had to use what? A word. And once that word was used, once the Holy Spirit brought that word into Scripture, once God anointed and ordained those words became alive and living. Now think about it. L-O-V-E, four little letters. It's a word. You put it on a paper, you say love. What does that mean? The minute you see it, something comes alive in your head. Different aspects of love come alive in your head. You think about relational love. You think about friendship love. You think about the love of God. You think about the love, you know, of enjoying a good day. The love of looking at nature. The love of enjoying a pastime. And it's a word. But God said, I am the living word. And once we start looking at God that way, instead of just looking at a word and saying, oh, grace, you're just like, wow, that's God. That's a living word. What does it mean? Well, it means different things for different people. It means more to some than others, because some people who don't know Christ don't understand that the grace of God is amazing. It's a miracle. In the beginning was the Word. Every name that the Bible gives God, every name that the Bible gives Jesus, every name that the Bible gives the Holy Spirit, these are God's attributes, Christ's attributes. They're His nature. They're His character. They're His actions. They're alive. They're living. They never stop. John 14:26, it says this, that the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. Basically, in the Greek, it says, He will remind you of every word I have given you. He will remind you of the word. What word? The words of God. All of what God is, He pours into us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wow. I don't know about you, but I just got goosebumps saying it. All of what God is, He pours into us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are a vessel, and if we empty out our vessel, if we open up this vessel, God just wants to pour more and more and more and more and more of Him into us. And that's why we're not going to focus on a word that might be our problem. We're going to focus on a word that is God and that is a strength and that's something that God will pour into us. We're going to be the vessel this year, and we're going to go to God and say, okay, God, it's kind of like we open up the cupboard and we are hungry. We open up the fridge and we are hungry. And don't you love your refrigerator after a holiday? Because it doesn't matter how hungry you are, there is something in there to eat, right? And that's God. God is, He says, I've given you all these words, I've given you all this stuff, and you're hungry. All you have to do is open up your life, open up, and just say, okay, what do I need? Last night, I needed cranberry cake with glazing on it. I know it doesn't sound very healthy, but man, it hit the spot. It hit the spot so much I had two pieces, didn't I? And you want to know something? It's the same way with God. We're going to go to God in this year, and we're going to say, you know, God, man, I need you. And we're going to be reading along the Bible, or we're going to be looking at this list, or we're going to be thinking about maybe something that the pastor taught on, or something that somebody else said. And that word is going to say that in our mind, in our spirit, in our soul, it is going to say, whoa, that's God, and I need that. Just like, whoa, have you ever craved something? Guys, you don't get pregnant, okay? But I know that any woman in here that has been pregnant craved something. You had some of the weirdest cravings. Cindy has a very, very standard diet until she was pregnant. And I was like, what? Yeah, kind of got weird. But we're going to crave God. And maybe once in a while you're going to think, this is kind of weird. But it's God. God speaking to you through the Holy Spirit. God giving you His Word. so that you can take it, hold on to it, walk with it, cherish it. Okay? The Holy Spirit reminds us of all that God has said. Then He places those truths within us so that we can live out His purposes. When we know God and know what He can do, listen to this, when we know God better and when we know what He can do, we can grow in that capacity. When we know God, we know that God can forgive, we can grow in that capacity. We know that God gives grace, we can grow in that capacity. We know that God is love, we can grow in that capacity. We know that God is just, we can grow in that capacity. We know that God is all of these things, and God says, I want to pour my word, I want to pour my living being into who you are. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, it says, now to Him is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Here's one of those scriptures that I love. What does it say? For all generations. Amen. You know, a lot of people, there's some denominations that teach that the Holy Spirit was just for Pentecost and get things started. Uh-uh. It says right here that God can do immeasurably more than we can imagine, then we can ask according to His power. And where is that power? It's at work within us. So once again, I want to stress this, okay? When we know God and we know what He can do, then we can grow in that capacity. This isn't saying, oh, you know, if we. No, it's if God, God, God. It's about God's purposes. It's about God's will. And if we know His purpose and His will, we can grow in the capacity of His will. And, you know, sometimes we get a little scared about what God's will might be for us. There used to be a song, God, don't send me to Africa. And I used to kind of think that way, too, until I met some people from Africa, and they showed me pictures of their country, and God kind of gave me a heart for, you know, years ago, I would have never dreamed I'd go to Thailand. No, thank you. I like the good U.S. of A. I don't like going through customs. I kind of like being here. It's safe. It's haven. But what's God's will? We gotta get out of this safety net. We gotta say, okay, God, I want to know Your will. I want to know Your will. He is able to do immeasurably more, okay, than you can imagine or ask. What can you imagine or ask? Yeah, I mean, you think about the will of God. He wants to move things. He wants to do things. What can you ask for? God can do more than that. God, I want this much. And He goes, that's not enough. We can't measure from one end of the universe to the other because God created it's limitless. Wrap your mind around that one, okay? The other day, down in the mailroom, the screensaver came on, and it was a picture of the Horsehead Nebula that the Hubble telescope took. And one of my college kids says, whoa, what is that? And I said, oh, that's the Horsehead Nebula. And he said, you've seen that? I go, yeah, a lot of times. Where is it? I said, on my computer. He goes, no, really, where is it? I said, the Hubble telescope took a picture of it. You can't see it with the naked eye. And he just looked at it, and he's like, wow, that's amazing. I said, yeah, it's amazing. I said, you know what's amazing is you see all that space behind it, it just goes forever. He goes, is that possible? I said, I think it is. Wow. No matter what you think or ask God to do, He can do more. Now, what's His will for our life? We don't know. But we'll never find out if we don't start asking Him some questions, if we don't start placing His word in our heart. You see, only if we let His power be at work within us will this happen. We have to open up to God. We have to open the door. He's not going to bang the door down. We have to open. So what happens when we let God in, okay? The living Word becomes active in us. Now this next scripture, many of us know, in this scripture is exciting and scary all at the same time, okay? It says, for the Word of God is living and active. This is the scary part. Sharper than any double-edged sword. The first part is it is living and active. Boy, that is exciting. And then it says that the Word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him who we must give account. And a lot of evangelists over the years have used this. It's a very effective scripture. If you're preaching it, you know, you better get your things right or you're going to go to hell, because God knows what's going on in your life. And He's going to get in there and He's going to use His sword and He's going to really make things. And, you know, I could preach a, you know, just line up and get Jesus right now before it all ends up being over. Sermon, right? But let's look at this from the living and active Word of God. If we dig into this, okay, this scripture does. It talks about knowing the living and active God. It talks about knowing the balance of God. God's grace and God's justice, okay? God's forgiveness and God's judgment. You gotta have one, and without one you can't have the other. Okay? So let's look at it. The Word of God is at work in every area of our life. It is at work in our soul, our mind, our memory, our emotions, our thoughts. Okay? It says it is in this scripture. It is at work in our spirit. It says that the Word of God can penetrate so deep within us, it can touch our spirit. Our spirit is deep within us. And once we come to Christ, that spirit becomes alive. Before Jesus, our spirit's just black. Not very pretty, but it says that the light comes in. Jesus comes in. He illuminates that. And then it also says, it talks about joints and marrows. It talks about our body. Why do we pray for physical healings? Why do we pray for blessings on people? Because God works in our spirit, our soul, and our body. That's what this is talking about. It's talking about every area. And it says, this is that part that we kind of squirm a little bit. It says that it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It judges those. Now, this is a strong word, isn't it? Isn't it a strong word? I mean, when you think of a judge, what do you think of? I think of a guy in a black robe that's scarier than anything I can think of. You know, you walk into a courtroom, if you've never been into a courtroom, let me tell you something. You better respect the guy in the black robe. Because in that room, he's the power. I've seen him put lawyers in jail for 3 days for just talking not right. It was a good feeling and my heart felt good because I was on the other side, okay? But I'll tell you what, I've spent a lot of time in courtrooms, and one thing I realized is I may be cutesy to everybody else, but that guy's in control. And when we think that the Word of God is judging, man, right away, that's kind of the picture we get. I want us to look at what that word means in the Greek and the Hebrew. When this scripture was written in the Greek, and then it was also written by many Jewish believers, we have the Greek translation, and the Greek translation was made into English, okay? Because the Hebrew translation, if they would have translated that into English, the Bible would be about a foot thick, which would be great. It would be very incredible to study, but it'd take a long time to read. I'm glad we have the NIV. It's like, you know, it's like the what do they call those? The quick notes, cliff notes, whatever. Anyway, so let's look at that word real quick, okay? Judge is a very strong word in the English, okay? But in the Greek, it means this: to be decisive. Think about that, okay? Isn't a judge decisive? It means to be discriminative, and it means to be a discerner. That's what Moses was in the Old Testament. The same word, this Greek word and this Hebrew word, okay, when we're talking about God judging and Moses judging the people, Moses, when he judged people, okay, and when he then created the judges, okay, that his father-in-law said, you can't do this on your own, so you got 100 guys to be what? Decisive, discriminative, and discerning. Oh. So, this kind of changes it up a little bit. You don't just think about this guy in a black robe. You're thinking about this guy who's looking out for your well-being. The Word of God is looking out for our well-being. It's trying to keep us out of trouble, and it's trying to point us in a good direction, okay? The Greek, word is so much clearer. Now, if you want to add some more onto that, we look at the Hebrew word. The same word in the Hebrew is even more extensive, and it shows us the love and power of God over us. This is what it says, okay? The Hebrew word to judge means to pronounce sentence for or against, okay? To vindicate or punish. You remember that balance that I talked about, okay? To govern, to litigate. How many times, you know, have you been in litigation over something? Maybe just a friend. Maybe it wasn't formal, but you know, you're trying to solve something, okay? To avenge, okay? To contend, to defend, to execute judgment, to plead, to reason, and to rule. Now, when we read this, as an unbeliever, this is a scary thing. But as a believer, when our relationship with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is where it needs to be, this is the definition of the word judge. It says, next one, I think, did I put it up there? I didn't put it up there. He is the discerner who vindicates us. I love this. This is who and where we are in Jesus. He is the discerner who vindicates us. He governs us. He avenges us. He contends for us. He defends us. He pleads for us and with us. He pleads for us and with us. Have you ever felt God pleading with you? Huh? And He reasons with us, and He rules over us. You see, our relationship in Christ changes everything in our relationship with the Father. Because we are forgiven. We are empowered with the Holy Spirit. We are walking in God's power. And so when we look at these words, we start looking at these words, these living words of the attributes, characters, and the actions of God, we realize that, wow, God's at work. So where do you think God wants to work in your life? Well, we're going to pick one of His names, like I said, for a week, a month, a year, however long it takes, and we're going to walk in that. How we know and see God determines how we know and see ourselves. I'm going to say that again. If we look at God from who we are, we will not see Him clearly. But if we look at us from the way God looks at us, we will see ourselves and God clearly. That's why we need to look into these words, these living words, because we will see things much more clearly looking at them from God's viewpoint. Going to the Holy Spirit and saying, I want to see this attribute of God more clearly, and I want to see this in me. I want to see this in me. Kind of changes it up a little bit, doesn't it? Before it was like, okay, I want this word, and I want this word to change me. Okay, I want to see this word as God sees it. I want to see God as He is so that I can see me and so that God's word can change me. So that I can just look at that word and say, that's what God is and that's what He wants for me. Lord, help me change my attributes. Lord, help me change my actions. Lord, help me change my attitudes. Lord, bring me closer to Your living word. Fill me up with Your living word. Let Your living word do the work in me because I can't do it. My flesh can't do it, but Lord, Your Spirit can do it. If I let Your Spirit in, if I let You flow in me, if I let You feed me, I will change. This week, what I want you to do is start thinking about how you can see and understand the living Word of God. How you can see and understand God more clearly. Think about that. Think about it. How can I see? Well, you got to kind of remove yourself. You see, let me just give you a really, really, really short example. We call God Father. The first 12 years of my life, I didn't have a very good dad. He was saved. He was angry. He was mean. He was a lot of things, okay? And so sometimes when I'm not thinking about my dad who got saved and changed. And I'm talking about a radical change immediately. I go back and I see God as that mean, judgmental, overbearing, you can do better than that. Just give you an example. I was in the fourth grade. I got all A's except for one B, and my dad said, I think you can do better than that. The next year, I got all C's and D's. Why try? I worked my butt off. I got a B in math. I've always been terrible in math. I got a B. That was two grades better than probably, you see, and sometimes we think that God's that way. We think that no matter how good we try, how much we do, God's going to say, no, not good enough. When in fact, God is that Father who says, this is awesome. I'm so proud of you. In fact, if we did our best and that report card was all D's, God would say, I'm so proud of you. In fact, if our report card was barely getting by and we were failing, God would say, you know, I know who you are. I love you, and I'm going to help you through this. That's the Father that we have. That's the living Word. That's the kind of God. That's who we need to see. And so we can't place our pasts on defining who God is. We need to look at something and say, okay, Holy Spirit, show me, Father God, show me love. How about love? What's love look like? Love to me for many years looked very conditional. If I did this, then I was loved. If I did this, I was loved. I can remember saving and giving somebody a present, thinking, wow, they're going to really, really love this. And I was told that I was selfish, a selfish, ungrateful person when I handed them this gift. And it almost destroyed me because I thought, well, I'm not loved because I didn't do it right. You see how our past can mess us up? And we have to set all that aside and we have to realize that God's love is unconditional. He died for us before. While we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus died for us. And so when we look at these living words, we need to look at these living words through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. We'll need to go to God and say, okay, God, this is how, maybe your word is going to be love, and maybe you've got a filter in there that you think, well, is it, if I do this, or if this person does this, they love. For a long time, it affected our relationship because I thought, well, you know, if Cindy loved me, she would do this. She must not love me. She's always loved me. She's loved me in the purest form, in ways I couldn't even understand until I started walking deeper in God. We had a lot of bumps because I thought, she doesn't love me. Fine. Whatever. It was like the report card thing. Fine. You don't love me. You're not doing what I want you to do. You know? You know when she really messed up? It's when she started going to that ladies' Bible study and they prayed that I'd get filled with the Holy Spirit. That really sucked. Because she was not loving me the way I thought that she should love me. And my life turned, excuse my French, it turned to SH you know what. It really did. It was terrible. I could not, every time I turned around, it was just a mess. And she loved me, but she wasn't loving me like I thought. And you see how distorted our lives can be, how distorted the enemy has is. And so we need to say, okay, Holy Spirit, I want to see this. Okay, in the names, titles, and descriptions that I want you to take home with you this week, the first one is Father. What does a father look like? The second one is a faithful God who does no wrong. The third one is a forgiving God, a fortress of salvation. Wow. Lord, I want to see God like that. I want to see a God with the eyes of the Holy Spirit because I want that word, whatever word is in this list, there's a lot of them. I'm going to narrow it down a little bit for you next week. But there's a lot of them. But Lord, I want to see it through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to see it through my past. I don't want to see it through my, you know, frailty, my weaknesses. I want to see it the way you see it. So take a handout and then start praying, Lord, what do I need more of? What do I need more understanding of? And go through that, and something's going to jump right out, I think. And next week we'll be looking at a plan to activate the living word in our lives. And remember, as you look at God, I want you to remember above everything else, His heart for you. I want to go back to John 14, 25. And this time I want to add another verse on there, 27, okay? Jesus says, all this I've spoken to you while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Okay, as children of God in relationship with Christ, listen to what this promise. He caps this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So as you start this process, number one, if you start being troubled, that's not God. That's not the Holy Spirit. It's the enemy trying to distract you. And if you start being afraid about, what if this word is something that I just can't? The word's not about you. It's about God. I don't know about you, but last year, my word became about me, and I kind of freaked out about it because I thought, I am just not getting there. And this year, it's going to be a little bit different because God's already there, and He just wants to show you more of Him. And He wants to give you more of Him. So, just remember the heart of God as you do this. And please take one of these. There's some in the back and there's some over here on your way out. Just read through them. Don't freak out, okay? Don't stress out. Just kind of go through them, skim through them. If something like, whoa, yeah, hey, that one, I think maybe, and then pray about it. God's good. And this year, it's going to be about the living word, not about the fearful heart, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that You are here and You are living. You're active. Lord, You're everywhere. And You love us. And because of that and so much more, Lord, we come to You this year and we ask You to show us a living word. Show us some living words. Show us, Lord, some direction that You have for us this year. Some direction that we can focus on so that we can grow more in You, be filled more of You. And so that our character can become more like Your character. We just thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.